B-Pod Studios.
If I know you and your Peloton thing, she ordered the Peloton thing, and she was going to get it a month earlier than they originally said.
Yeah.
And this is the most, like, I don't know, speaking about entitled, right? Not my wife, me. But, like, this is the most entitled problem ever. They said they're going to deliver it a month earlier. Outer Banks. Now, her parents are supposed to be over, but we don't want her parents dragging that thing inside. How heavy is it?
Like close to 300 pounds.
Yeah, that's good.
You could pay a couple of my kids. I'll come over and move it for you.
Not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Bye. I'm not kidding you. We'll negotiate off air.
talk to my guy Scott Boris, and we'll find that out. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to John Barr, who wrote a just phenomenal piece about Roy Halladay, and we'll get more in depth into that piece later on in this hour, because man, the documentary that's going to drop tonight is already enthralled. Like I'm already enthralled. I was reliving a lot of the moments reading the rest of the story last night, and how you watched a guy, and you referenced this start, and I think it's what a lot of people's minds go to when it comes to Roy Halladay, and it's that start in Chicago at Wrigley Field, where the man was red. He was bright red on the mound, and we remember him in the dugout, wrapping him in the ice towel. And I remember bitching about the air conditioning in old Wrigley Field, and they need to update it. And I remember other people bitching about it as well. It's a crazy thing, but to think that that was only the small tip of the iceberg in terms of a man breaking down is insane, both mentally and physically, and knowing that he would have to call it a career. John Barr goes into great detail about all this in interviewing friends of his, interviewing his parents, his dad.
Yeah.
The stories about his dad were amazing.
Yeah.
And I think his sister being worried about, oh, is my dad pushing my brother
too hard? Yeah.
They put a batting cage in the basement.
And if his dad had to go away, he would put like a hat or something on top of the weights so that he would know if Roy worked out or not.
Yeah. Not exactly a foolproof plan, but it's good.
Yeah.
Is it like you're putting a napkin on your drink if you go to the bathroom at a bar?
So no, yeah, it's like taping the door at the hotel, make sure your kid doesn't get out. One of those things.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, it left a tinge of, wow, he was pushed a little bit hard as a kid.
He a little overbearing.
Yeah.
But some of that went away by the conversations about being a pilot, because his father, Roy Halladay's father, was a pilot. Big Roy was a pilot. I believe Leroy Halladay II, his dad, was the second. Is the junior the same thing as the second?
Yes.
Okay. So junior, and then Leroy Halladay was the third.
I'm a junior. I never even thought about that.
What, every junior being the second?
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you were little, they had visions, but the servants at the house didn't want to call you the second.
Yeah.
They called you junior. Oh, it just never crossed my mind, but yeah.
James Lynch the second.
They didn't bring you your bronzed birth certificate?
Yeah.
But his father, in the early stages, definitely looked like he was a little overbearing. And his dad, later in the piece, you find out that he was really caring about his son flying planes. Like, his dad was a pilot.
Yeah.
And, like, Roy Halladay did it for recreational reasons. And he obviously bought that plane that he later crashed and died in, and operated it under the influence of different drugs in his system. And one of the things his father said was, if you're going to be taking those things, you can't be flying planes. Like, made it very clear to his son, this is very dangerous. It impairs your judgment. Now, I think they're still waiting, and the story points out that they're still waiting for, the physical evidence of impairing. Look, if you test positive for those things, I think it's safe to assume that there was some impairment going on.
Yeah.
But I don't want to jump to that conclusion. So the story highlights conversations between Roy Halladay and his father about making sure he's operating the plane responsibly. And you do think about athletes as they get away from the field of play and they get away from that spotlight. Whether you crave the spotlight or not, what I'm sure every one of those athletes misses when they get away from it. I mean, everyone says the same thing. I miss the guys, right? They say, I miss the guys. I miss the clubhouse. But at the same time, they miss that adrenaline rush. And I can only assume that doing the maneuvers he was doing, He was giving himself that rush back of what it felt like to the most alive.
No doubt about it.
And that's being on the mound in those pressure-packed situations. And the thing in the story about him flying that gave me the most pause and the most concern and the honest moment, if I'm being real with you, made me feel like, Roy, what the hell are you doing, man? Doc, what are you doing? Is when he had, when the story talked about him flying under a bridge, and the story then mentions that Brandy was in the plane with him. That's the mother of your kids, man.
Yeah.
That's two parents in a plane with two boys, high school age. Like, what are you doing? That's just stupid. Granted, it wasn't smart to operate a plane like that to begin with, but to do it also on your own, because most likely you missed that thrill, that adrenaline rush, and to end like that, it's one of the saddest things you can read about. Because not only is it an athlete dealing with addiction about with drugs, it's also an athlete dealing with the addiction of missing that adrenaline rush from the field of play. And that's where your heart goes out to this father of two boys, this husband that left all that behind because he couldn't kick the habit of drugs, he couldn't kick the addiction, and also because he couldn't kick the how he was drawn to that kind of mentality of
adrenaline. Yeah, it's sad. And then you read about, like, he was so different in so many ways. His wife saying that the night before games, he would throw up and get all so anxious that he had to start taking some sleeping pills to ensure that he'd get a good night's sleep to be ready to pitch the next day. And to have your body go through all that, the ups and downs of you know, it gets that wired before you're to perform. You know, there's something different going on there. I mean, we've been there where you get that adrenaline when you have to do something big, speak in front of a huge audience, whatever it may be, pitch, obviously. But, you know, some people react calmly and are okay with it, and others go to other extremes. He seemed to be an extreme type of guy, obviously, now that we, you know, dive into it even more.
All right, now let's go into the realm of sanity, and let's go where we like to go for sanity. Our friend Jeff in Camden. What's up, Jeff?
You want sanity, but you come to me.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
You speak what's on your mind, my friend.
I mean, if that sanity is debatable, but I'm blessed to wake up this morning and be on the air with you guys.
Hear,
you
hear.
That's right. So as far as baseball go, I mean, Price Harper is on my last nerve, man. If I get the Rona, I get the Rona. And then his face, I had to look at his face while he was saying that.
Well, that was Blake Snell who said it, actually. He responded to what Snell said.
Yeah, but he seconded it. It was on the news, man. He was in front of that desktop, and he's like, I'm right with him.
No, but hold on a second. I think Blake Snell said the get the Rona thing back in early March in spring training. And then I think he talked about the contract about a month and a half later, and that's when Bryce Harper agreed with him.
Yeah, he said, I'm right with him. So you take that any way you want to,
okay,
man. It seems like, you know, it seems like the Pied Piper and the blind leading the blind, whatever that guy does, he's with it.
Right.
That's his boy. Feel me? I mean, that's just the way I took it. I could be wrong. But Bryce Harper is on my last nerve. Like I said before, when he's up to bat, if there's ever baseball, it's time for me to check my email. You can do what you want. I love the Phillies. I hope he helps the Phillies. But he has a hate the face to me.
You know what's funny? I wish they would keep their business to themselves. I wish they weren't arguing about this as publicly as they were. But it's going to happen.
And I was never that much of a punk when I was his age. I just wasn't, man.
You know, I don't know, man, but I know it's going to be public anyway, how they're going to talk about this, and the negotiations are going to be public, things are going to leak, and they're going to try to put, you know, the fans against the owners, and they're going to try to put the fans against the players, and look, we know how that's going to work. It can't not be public as much as it is. But to make it as much about money as it is, and for that much information to already be out there, is absolutely ridiculous, and they've already lost people. Like, let's face it, baseball has taken a major loss already, have they not?
Yeah, exactly. And how much money do you need, man? When you reach a certain amount, isn't it time to just say, like, you know, this is that, you know, we're treading water as far as this goes. There's people out there. I mean, you hear what Aaron Nola said. Aaron Nola said it upsets him when a person doesn't have enough, when a person doesn't have enough to eat, when a person doesn't have enough to pay their bills. And that right there is a level-minded perspective. You know, and not everybody's blessed with that. Some people, if they get the Rona, they get the Rona despite being rich.
There's something about calling it the Rona that also, and Jeff, thanks for the call, buddy. That just makes it a little too lighthearted for me. Like, I'm all about being lighthearted, but the Rona.
Yeah, that's
And I think, again, I don't think I have my order off. Blake Snell said that during spring training. And then about a month and a half later said the thing about the money that got everybody stirred up. And that's when Bryce Harper, I don't remember Bryce Harper saying anything about the Rona.
No, I'll trust your timeline over Jeff's.
Jeff was pretty steady today.
Yeah. He had the facts. It was just the order.
Just the order.
It was the definition of history class where you didn't have to know dates. That's pretty much what that conversation was. But nonetheless, I think, as I know, I'll go back to it, regardless of how this all plays out, baseball's already lost. They've lost so much in all of this because you're going to be, as we've talked about before, baseball is going to take that way, way back seat to both hockey and basketball. And basketball is eventually going to iron out what the hell they need to work out, even though they had a huge curveball thrown to them over the last couple of days about saying, yeah, I ain't playing if you're Damian Lillard unless my games mean something, unless I have a chance to win the championship. Why not do what the NHL is doing and have 24 teams? That way more teams are actually in it. Your championship is even more legitimate than it would already be. And you just have at it that way. Regardless, with all that going on, baseball's going to be like, hey, guys, over here. Don't forget about us. Meanwhile, you have already taken a loss, not just in starting late, but also arguing about money so publicly.
Yeah. I don't know who decided to let the cat out of the bag in baseball with the money situation, but once it came out, oh, my God. It couldn't have, you knew it wasn't going to be good, and we said it from the very beginning. All right, when they go into these negotiations, keep your mouth shut, especially about money. And we said that before anything came out. Don't talk economics in the public.
Yeah,
and
Terry,
sure enough, it's one of the first things they do.
Terry Francona just said, I really wish these negotiations were private. And he's right.
Yeah. Like,
why is this so public? Why are you so terrible?
Is anything going to be private? Like, we know. No. Like, people that are like, why couldn't they just keep this off the books? Or off the media. What? We're going to find out. We find out everything, almost.
Yeah, but there's just no winners from this. Like, everybody's bad.
Yeah, but if I'm an owner and I can leak a little thing.
Yeah, if I can make the players look worse, and then the players saying I can make the owners look bigger.
But it's all terrible.
It is. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know how we still giggle at the word boobies?
Yeah.
These guys, doesn't matter how much money they have, they're not going to grow out of arguing over how much more they could get.
Yeah, I just think it's really tone deaf of the sport.
You know, I say we don't really mature past the age of eight, our minds. But really, when you think about it, most people don't get past high school. Gossip is awesome. People love gossip. And as much as they say it's bad, oh, man, they're the people that are just, oh, so enthralled with it. And now you have these owners and players that are just saying the worst things about one another, and their agents are saying bad things about one another, and teams are just coming out not looking exactly great in all this, especially the A's, who aren't paying their minor league players. Like a lot of players throughout minor league baseball are not getting paid now. So there is no winner anymore. It's all losses. Even if baseball says, we have a plan in place to start July 4th, people are like, oh, right around the time we'll have some NBA and right around the time we'll probably have some NHL. Okay. Good luck to you. We'll see how that works out. Now, when we come back, we're going to jump a little bit deeper into the Roy Halladay story, get into some more specifics and how it pertains to the Phillies and things you could be seeing about the Phillies tonight during the documentary. Time of the Fanatic 712.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Minor League takes a hit. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Lowe's. Pros shop for brands you can trust on lowesforpros.com and get free standard shipping on qualifying orders of $45 or more. Restrictions apply, U.S. only. The MLB Players Association is expected to send back their first revised economic proposal by the end of this week. Before owners and big leaguers could even agree to terms, the minor league system felt the repercussions yesterday. Jeff Passan reported that hundreds of minor league players were cut and hundreds more are expected to be cut over the next week. Ultimately, over 1,000 minor league guys are expected to lose their jobs due to the coronavirus effect and the anticipated canceled season. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has updated their approval of pro sports returning in the state. Not only is professional style play allowed to resume in June, but Abbott has now stated that outdoor stadiums will be allowed to hold 25% of fan capacity. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Barzetta in the Morning
with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get your Wawa order faster and save time with mobile ordering on the Wawa app. Browse our menu of hoagies and salads made your way, soups, sides, handcrafted lattes, and more. Just order and prepay in the app, then pick up and go. You can even pick a time. From morning to late night, we're here to make it easier to get your Wawa favorites. Order ahead on the Wawa app today. Gotta have a Wawa. At Wawa, we're focused on making your shopping experience as safe as possible. We have new safety measures like counter shields, social distancing markers, masks, and temperature checks for every associate. We also created the Wawa Clean Force, a highly trained staff dedicated to keeping our stores safe through industry-leading sanitation. This is our new routine, so you can get back to yours. So stop in, order ahead, or get it delivered. Wawa has you covered.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Experience Parx Casino right from your phone. That's right. Parx Real Money Online Casino app is now available on all devices. Anywhere in PA for real money. Sign up now and Parx will match your first online casino deposit up to $500. Download the Parx Casino app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code JACKPOT to get your $500 online casino deposit match now. Requirement must be present. PA must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
To those who love the grind, run with us on a John Deere Gator UV, because your daily routine may change, but the land stays the same. There's still work to be done, a herd to keep in line, and ground to cover. Being linked to the land means the work never stops, so keep going on a Gator UV, featuring a hefty payload capacity, smooth riding suspension, and the power to forge ahead. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
At AutoZone, we've always been here to help you get what you need to go where you need. That hasn't changed. Needing some battery help? We've got you. Whether it's a free battery test or a free charge, we can help you get started again. And if it's time for a replacement, we've got a full selection of batteries starting at $79.99. That's why we're America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track, 12 months ending December 2019.
Ewan Allman's versus That Song by That Guy. You've heard it a million times, and all day it's been right there on the very tip of your tongue. Suddenly you've got it, and you shout your realization from the rooftops. Then you realize you've just yelled, "Baby, that's the stuff," to a room full of strangers. It was worth it. It is the stuff after all.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for those 6 grams of energy-giving protein in almonds, it might have remained on the tip of your tongue till the end of time. California Almonds. Own your everyday, every day.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parents and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey, Philadelphia. Things are slowly going back to normal, and Dunkin' wants to help get you running again. DD Perks members enjoy large hot coffees from Dunkin' for $1.49. Not a DD Perks member? Join on the Dunkin' app today for an easy, contactless way to order and pay, pick up in-store, or at the drive-thru. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.
Parsetta in the morning. Now.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
As I said yesterday, the Roy Halladay documentary that's going to come out tonight, I'm really looking forward to watching it just because I want to know as much as I can about a guy that I consider to be, as many people did, a stoic pitcher, a central casting type pitcher. If you're going to be a pitcher, model yourself after this guy. And it's going to give you even more information as to what made him tick and the unfortunate under the surface things, under the radar things that we didn't know about Roy Halladay. Now, reading the story by John Barr, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock today, really did shed a lot more light on all of that. But a couple of things that jumped out to me that we haven't gotten into yet was this nickname from his time in Toronto that really bothered me. I mean, I don't know if
I've certainly known people in my life that have struggled with alcoholism. When Brandy Halliday told the story about going into kind of Roy's man cave, if you will, and there he was behind a locked door, and there's empty bags of the whiskey all over the place. Was it Chivas Regal?
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal, excuse me. Mm-hmm. That was out and about, like just thrown around. Like, it's wild.
Yeah.
That's sad as it is right there.
That and when he was pitching with Toronto, I think he was in the minors still, and his nickname was Minibar.
Minibar, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Haunting nickname.
Yeah.
That's like ha-ha kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But they called him that because he wouldn't go out and drink with guys. He would stay in his room and drink the Minibar.
Which is more concerning.
Because it's not even about the social aspect. Like, I'll be with the guys, let's party. Like, not that that's great either, but when you're by yourself,
it's justifiable.
That you want to be around the guys?
Yeah, that you're socializing and getting out.
Yeah, no, to hell with that. I just want to drink.
Yeah.
By myself.
That's troubling.
In my room. Minibar. That's, like, look, I understand the locker room mentality, and I get that, but that's a little bit more haunting considering what we know now. And then you go on to read the story, and one of the awful things that does involve the Phillies is that apparently a member of the Phillies, according to Brandy Halliday, hooked Roy Halliday up. Somebody in the clubhouse hooked him up with a doctor that would sell him drugs or pills for cash. Which I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's illegal.
Yeah.
That's why they more or less say allegedly in the story is that he went there and would sell and would buy drugs for cash. So that it was under the table and people wouldn't know about it. And apparently that was somebody in the Phillies organization that put him in the direction of this Florida doctor. And we'll get more information from John Barr when we speak to him later in the show.
Yeah, and another part of the story that kind of really stood out to me was that he was in rehabilitation. And then he got scared that someone snuck in, or it was proven that someone snuck in a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And because of who he was and because he didn't want word out there, and this is such the shame of it, and Brian Dawkins talked to us about it a few weeks ago, he was afraid of being embarrassed that it would be put out there that he was in this rehab, so he left early and went home and self-detoxed.
Right.
And it's a shame because maybe he was on his way to getting a cure. Maybe he was on his way to finding what he really needed. And I'm not bashing Roy Halliday on this at all by saying, you know, it's a shame that people that have mental health struggles still feel embarrassment about it. And if he didn't, and granted, he's in the limelight also, but if he didn't and he just said, I don't care, I have to get my help, which all people with mental health problems you wish they could do, you know, this may have never happened.
Yeah, we talked about the word weakness yesterday. Like, you're not showing weakness, as far as I'm concerned. You're showing a great strength that you can admit a great fault that you have. And in order to try to get better, he went to rehab. He then, I believe it was his second rehab stint, that somebody snuck the cell phone in on campus, and he was like, I can't risk anything. I'm out. That's the thing that would embarrass him the most. It's so unfortunate that you have to have that thought as somebody that's a, for lack of a better term, celebrity athlete, that you know one leaked photo on TMZ would be the greatest, most devastating thing to you as an athlete and you as a public figure. That you couldn't have that picture of you at a rehab facility. Now, you might think, who cares? You're getting the help you need. Well, he also wanted to keep it under the radar because he didn't want people seeing that much behind the scenes Roy Halliday yet.
And I, if I'm lining up the story correctly, I don't believe that his kids knew about the rehab this time, or not every family member knew. Because when they drove him, Brandy Halliday's wife says that, I don't know if this was the first or second time, but she said that she just dropped the kids off at her best friend's house and tried to hide it as best they could, act as normal as they could.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think
maybe it was kids involved too, when he couldn't risk that, but it is such a shame. Maybe that was the part where he could have gotten the help he needed and it just didn't come about.
Yeah, and you would just hope that they would have at least, maybe taken more precautions so that he could, be isolated, at least away from people that might be out to get him. But, like, think about that. And, like, anybody in the public eye has to have that thought in the back of their mind. Imagine you're at your weakest point and you're trying to get out there and take care of your issue by being strong and going to address it. And now you got to be worried about somebody totally embarrassing you by taking something that you're not ready at all to be public and just putting it out there for everybody. That, like, that's that right there. When they talk about a price of fame, that's too high a cost. for most people.
Yeah.
And like, I almost, like, as much as I want to say, Roy, to hell with that, get better. Like, I could understand why someone would be like, to hell with this, man. I can't do this if someone's going to put it out there. So we went home, and he basically just stayed by himself for a couple of weeks to try to, as you said, self-detox.
Yeah.
The story said self-detox. But it is, it's wild, and I don't know who it is, and I haven't heard any allegations that, unfortunately, somebody here in Philly showed him, gave him the contact information.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Phillies appear to have a pretty big role in all of this.
Now, the other part of it is, as far as the clubhouse goes, they at least noticed something was wrong.
Yeah.
And as you talked about yesterday, Jamie, you highlighted the part of the story where Rich Doobie told a leader in the clubhouse, more or less, they just describe it as a teammate, to go up to...
It as somebody Doc really admired.
Okay. And they go up to him and they say, hey, Roy, what's going on? And like, Roy didn't have much to really say. He just knew, they knew something was wrong and they didn't really get into it. But the guy who did later come out and say something was Kyle Kendrick. And Bob, you saw this as well. Kyle Kendrick was a fairly young pitcher, had had a really good start to his career in 2007, and was trying to get back to that form. I think he was like 10-3 or something like that when they called him up out of double A ball, and the Phillies, of course, he helped the Phillies clinch the division, and then he got rocked a little bit when they put him in the bullpen his rookie year, and when he took over for Kyle Loesch against the Rockies in the playoffs. But he was trying to get back to that form that he had in his rookie season. So Roy Halladay comes in, and you're like, perfect. Let me watch everything this guy does and try to model what I do after him. So we really looked up to Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
Their lockers were next to each other in the clubhouse. And one day, Halladay came in, I think it was the 2013 season, his last year in the big leagues, and Kyle Kendrick looked at him and tried talking to him, and lights were on, but nobody was home. Like, he just looked like he was not there. He was there physically, mentally not there at all. And that's when Kyle Kendrick started to get worried. And then shortly thereafter, Roy Halladay retires. He talks about all the injuries he had dealt with, and maybe that shed some light for people. Oh, he was distracted. He knew he was at the end. This is the problem. And it turned out, no, it was just, again, the tip of the iceberg with Roy Halladay. And he started going down this awful path of, not only was it being addicted to opioids, there was other things in his system. You mentioned the Ambien that he would take during his playing career to help him sleep before starts. It was a whole bunch of things. And it wasn't just the fact that it was this guy that was broken down from being a pitcher. It was a guy that mentally was broken down. Now, we tell all of this because it's all the faults that are under the table here with Roy Halladay, but the documentary and the story have certainly put a lot more light on this. And anyone that's listening to this struggling with addiction, Brandy Halladay says the reason they came out with this story was because maybe it does help somebody. And I know people have been binging things on Netflix throughout this, but the comedian Daryl Hammond, who is on Saturday Night Live, has a documentary on Netflix right now that tells the story of a lot of underlying problems that he had throughout his life. And he said one person came up to him and said that book, he wrote a book about dealing with basically abuse as a kid and then alcoholism later. He said one person came up to me and said that your book saved my daughter's life. She was dealing with a lot of the things that you were dealing
with. That's all you needed.
That's it. Like, imagine this story about one of the greatest pitchers, maybe of his era, one of the greatest pitchers ever, certainly of his era, that comes out with all these faults under the table, all these struggles he had under the table, for an awful term, all these demons that he had. If they come out as a family, as Brandy Halladay does, and say, look, this was the real him. You want to talk about a guy who was viewed as a perfect person? Well, he was rather imperfect. And this is why.
Yeah.
All the people that are struggling with addiction now have somebody to look at and say, all right, you know what? He was trying to fight off what happened to him. He was trying to fight off what was gnawing at him for all those years. It didn't work for him, unfortunately. Maybe I can have a different story. And I think that's an important thing and an important message to give to a lot of people struggling with addiction.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There was a great, one of the lines in the story that really stuck out to me was Halladay called his good friend, who's mentioned in the story many, many times. I think he was their financial advisor too, whatever he calls him, in the morning, and just said, how the bleep do you do this? And the guy says, what are you talking about? And he says, how do you live everyday life? And, you know, people out there, and we've talked about this before, when athletes retire, oh, boo-hoo, they can go and count their millions. Okay, these guys became millionaires because they had a routine, and they were the hardest of hard workers, and they became the best at their sport because of that work ethic. And then it's all at 30. Roy Halladay was 36 years old, maybe 38, whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys that retire, if they're lucky, are in their early to mid-30s. and your life is taken away. You're the one thing that you've done consistently throughout your life that you know how to do best is taken away. That's why athletes struggle so much with retirement. That's why, you know, I always cringe when I hear people say, oh, yeah, he can just go and count his millions. Who cares? Okay. You know, you've been playing baseball, basketball, hockey since you were probably 4 or 5 years old. Now you're just 30-some years old. He's younger than you two, than you and Jamie. And they have to say, no, boom, done. The thing that you've loved to do your whole life is gone. You can understand why these guys struggle. And unfortunately, Roy Halladay, the struggles that he had during his playing days carried over even more after that baseball was taken away.
See, that's why I never fault athletes for hanging on. Like, you want to talk about all the deteriorating skills? Yeah, okay. Do they want to acknowledge the point in their life where they can't do what they did at 25, even though they've been working their whole life to get to this moment, and then they get to be in their, you know, early 30s, they get to be in their mid-30s, and guys are still hanging on, whether that be Roy Halladay, whether that be Brett Favre, whoever it might be. These are all guys that don't want to let go because they don't want to go into that life of normalcy. And the story you pointed out, Bob, is wild because it quotes a conversation he had with a friend. And it's like, how the hell do you do this? This is bleeping boring.
Yeah.
You're going away from 35, 40,000 people cheering you in a stadium to, hey, did you pick the guy up? Did you pick a kid up from band practice?
Yeah.
Like, Roy, did you take the trash out?
Pretty much.
Especially every day with baseball. You know, baseball is that routine for 6 months that you have, maybe even longer, that you just have. And especially a pitcher when he goes every 5 days, and especially Roy Halladay, who we know you talked about his work ethic, Mark. He had every day labeled exactly what he had to do between starts, day before the start, day of a start. His life was just a road that he traveled down for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And that's just in the professional life. I'm sure he was like that. You know, we heard stories about when he was younger. And then it's all just gone, and he couldn't deal with it.
The batting cage in the house that he would throw through a tire with a mattress as a backstop, right? Like, that story at a very young age, and then being, you know, working your way to becoming a first-round pick, I think 17th overall by the Blue Jays. And then going out and starting out your career, and I think it says that he had, like, a good, like, first 10 innings in the major leagues, and then everything hit the fan. They send him to Class A ball, where he's got to redo everything. He reads the ABCs of pitching, right? That book that we've heard about a million times.
His wife bought it for him.
His wife bought it for him.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And then he comes back to Major League Baseball, and all of a sudden he's the most dominant pitcher in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Like, to work through that, achieve it, and then win another Cy Young, by the way, with the Phillies when he came over here, get to the playoffs finally, and then, by the way, you lose by one run to one of your closest friends, Chris Carpenter, who you pitched in Toronto. Like, it's a wild ride just as a professional baseball player. And then to see him still crave that adrenaline rush after his playing career, not knowing how to deal with it. I'm sure one of the ways he planned on dealing with it was doing more piloting.
Yeah.
And we unfortunately know the ending of that story. And I just think it's a wild thing for all the people that struggle with addiction. For the people that struggle with the idea of retirement, all the professional athletes, what they're going to do when it's all said and done. And I'm hoping that this does come out and does help a lot of people, because there's already been a lot of light shown on all of this. I mean, shortly after the crash happened, he passed away in October. The report came out in January of different things found in his system, different drugs found in his system. And we kind of knew at that point that there were other things that were going to come out in the not too distant future revolving around Roy Halladay and those quote unquote demons that he was dealing with. But this story does highlight a lot of those things. It puts it out in the open. And I give a lot of credit to the family for kind of getting ahead of the story, if you will, and putting their name on it and saying, look, we know that he wasn't perfect. We know a lot of people viewed him as perfect. So if we can put out this message and give these details and then help some people out, that's really all we need.
Yeah, 8 months.
People need to know that they have it, that they have somebody else out there that they can look at and say, wow, somebody that stoic, that respected, dealt with the same thing I was dealing with.
Yeah, and the fact that a widow can talk about this, a father, a sister, you know, friends. For 8 months, ESPN went around and spoke with people and collected information about everything that went on. And for, you know, it would be really easy for Roy Halladay's widow to just say, let somebody else tell.
Right.
Let somebody else, like, you know, this is just too much for me. I have to raise two kids. You know, they're in their college years, I believe, now. But she didn't. And that is a truly special person. Weakness can't be a word that comes into play when you talk about Roy Halladay going to his son and saying, I'm struggling. When you have a widow who's saying, I'm putting this story out there because I want to help other people. There's no weaknesses there. Mm. You know, that this is just all strength. And God bless him for doing it. And like you said, Mark, if there's one person that gets help from this, that's they've reached their goal.
You mentioned the tape on the door, and you were relating it to when Roy Halladay, the second, Big Roy, as they refer to him in the story, Doc Halladay's dad, when he would leave town, he'd put a hat on exercise equipment, and if the hat was moved, that's how he knew the son worked out. I mean, again, not a foolproof plan, but at least an idea.
Maybe he hid it behind something, you know, that had to get hit or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Angle the bill of the cat
exactly.
Door if it wasn't facing the door. Then, he was kept close tabs on throughout his life, especially as a first round pick, where I'm sure the Blue Jays were keeping close tabs on him as well. You want to know what that guy was up to. But what I think a lot of people are going to get out of this story, not only his help, but it's also kind of how it all began. And I think, I hate using this term now, but workaholic, as I mentioned earlier, this kind of puts new meaning on that. And I've heard stories of guys that, and I know someone personally that was addicted to drugs, and it wasn't prescription drugs, and they quit. They got over it and they started working out. And what they did with their workout regimen was what they would do with drugs. Like, they would every day, no matter what, I'm at the gym. And they look, the guy got in phenomenal shape, very healthy guy now, rather do that than drugs. Okay. I think anyone would take that. But it's that personality, that addictive personality, that makes people go after something like that and not be able to let it go. I have to do this. Channel in a much healthier way, good for them, but it's still the same thing where they feel like, oh yeah, I really want to get to the gym. I love the gym. I'm very passionate about the gym too. I need this. That's where you can get into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
And seeing that transition, I'm like, okay, it's not drugs, so that's good. But still, to feel like you need something that much might not be the healthiest thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying this to a bad point. I when we talked to Brian Dawkins a couple of weeks ago, his passion for mental health and people learning about it and trying to help people. When we were talking to him, and I think I said it to him as we were getting off, the passion that he played with, and this is in a good way, that he played with, that passion that he had, man, he's translating it to mental health, to helping people, and then the problems that he went through, he totally transferred that passion of football to his new passion of letting people know that having mental health issues is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's mental wellness, and you know, all of that. You're right. Roy Halladay took the one addiction and kind of looks like, unfortunately, just transferred it to his normal life. And it's a shame.
It absolutely is. Now, the other thing here is kind of the point of all this as sports fans, not people rooting for the overall well-being of humans, right? But as sports fans, how does it affect your opinion of Roy Halladay? Because I feel like years from now, when I'm telling little toots about Roy Halladay, I feel like I'm going to talk about what a dominant pitcher he was, what a prototypical pitcher he was, central casting for a pitcher, right? I'm going to talk about the no-hitter. I'm going to talk about the perfect game 10 years ago today against the Marlins. We're going to talk about that, but I'll also say the guy dealt with a lot of issues behind the scenes, and the issues had to do with drug addiction, addicted to opioids. It had to do with drinking, right? And I will tell her that story, not because I want to tarnish somebody's reputation, but also I want to give her the example of somebody that looks so perfect in one aspect of life, had imperfections throughout another aspect of life. And I feel like that's what the family's trying to do through this documentary, is make sure everything gets told. And it's almost like I'm telling you for the last time type of vibe, where I'm telling you the story so that you know.
Right.
No more questions.
Yeah.
Now you know. Here I am, putting my name on it, telling the story as his widow, making sure you know everything about Roy. And former teammates, Kyle Kendrick's interviewed in this. And when we talk to John Barr coming up at 9 o'clock today, I'm sure even more light will go into this. It seems like this is, I mean, for people that are starving for what they will call an actual documentary, this certainly will come off as that.
Yeah, yeah. I must watch TV tonight, especially for people, you know, Philadelphia, Toronto areas.
All right, now we talked about this a little bit earlier. We'll get into it again. There's some great Twitter rivalries going on right now on social media, as you would assume. There's actually rather entertaining, and I don't even mean in the political aspect, but we all know what's going on there. Our friend Dan Orlovsky called out one particular athlete, And know that
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This guy wasn't even in football. And yeah. When I first saw the story and saw the name Damian, I thought he was fighting with Damian Woody of ESPN, and they both work for ESPN, so they're gonna get into it every once in a while. Ha ha. No, it was Damian Lillard. And if you haven't seen this story yet, oh my goodness, it is a good time. It's a great Twitter beef that broke out over some words that Dan Orlovsky had to say on ESPN's Get Up. Dan's joined us multiple times on the show. We think he does a phenomenal job. And I think he realizes, and Bobby highlighted it, I think he realizes he took a little bit of an L yesterday.
Yeah. That's okay.
You know what? It's fine.
Nobody goes undefeated.
Nobody's undefeated. No,
you don't win them all.
I will say this. As an analyst, Dan Orlovsky, undefeated. As a football player, not very much. And on Twitter now, maybe taking a bit of an L. Maybe take a bit of an L. So we'll highlight some of that stuff when we come back, including a former Philadelphia Eagle that, he got into it a little bit as well with Dan Orlovsky, and it's a very well-known name. We'll get to that in a second. Also, a little bit later, did you read the story today by Paul Domowicz on Inquirer.com?
I did.
Great piece surrounding Jalen Hurts and what he brings to the table here in Philadelphia, and how it reminded me of one of the pop culture fads throughout the pandemic. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the NBA Board of Governors are expected to virtually meet later today to discuss how to return their play proposal. Yesterday, Silver spoke with general managers from around the league to get their opinions on how to return. In the meetings, GMs took a survey which showed that 75% of the group would prefer a play-in tournament to fill in the final playoff seeds, while the other 25% voted for the World Cup-style play. Both styles would replace the rest of the regular season and would count as the first round of playoffs. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Barzetta in the Morning with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mark Barzetta here for my friends at Window Nation, a local company supporting our local economy, employees, and homeowners during this road to recovery process. Your home is your most valuable investment, and installing new windows now is arguably the best improvement you can make today, especially considering the CDC's recommendations for opening your windows daily. Are your windows ready to help you properly ventilate your house this summer? Invest in your health and invest in your home with new windows from Window Nation. Partnering with their factory, they are now providing temporary price concessions and financial stimulus programs to provide immediate assistance for those who need windows and to help employees working by deferring payments for 24 months with no money down. They're also temporarily reducing pricing up to 50% on all style windows. Following strict CDC guidelines, they will provide you with an in-person quote or virtual video estimate. Getting new windows has never been easier with deferred payments for two entire years and no money down, plus pricing temporarily reduced up to 50%. Go to windownation.com today or call 866-90-NATION for a free estimate.
97.5 The Fanatic, in conjunction with our parent company, Beasley Media Group, is working to help those affected by the coronavirus pandemic in our area. Visit the Pro Shop at 97.5thefanatic.com and purchase special Philly Stands Together merchandise. 100% of the net proceeds benefit the PHL COVID-19 Fund, providing grants to organizations throughout Philadelphia and surrounding counties in PA and New Jersey to serve the needs of our most vulnerable neighbors and to ensure critical resources remain accessible for those with the greatest need. We are all in this together. Visit 975thefanatic.com for complete details.
One of our great sponsors and friends of the station, Family and Company Jewelers, is happy to announce that they are now open for curbside pickup, consultation, sales, and consignments at their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Follow them on social media or or visit familyjewelers.com for hours and additional information. Stay safe, but don't make love wait. Curbside service is now available from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's time for mixed martial arts action. Fighting for your bet, the reigning, defending, undisputed champion of sports bettors in Pennsylvania. Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Place your bets on the Warriors inside the cage. Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Presented by Rivers Casino Pittsburgh. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ahoy!
Ahoy!
Yoo-hoo! Ahoy!
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 Ahoy there!
Ahoy!
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 Ahoy! In the name of the great Neptune, ahoy!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered with basic plans starting at $100 a year. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for a basic liability policy not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Cultivators of the cul-de-sac. Run with us on the John Deere X370 Select Series lawn tractor. Because yard work is about more than just mowing. It's about moments that last a lifetime. Like when your daughter Emily has a shot at making wiffle ball history on her home turf. And that's why the X370 leaves nothing to chance. With one-touch mulch control technology and attachments for every season. So Emily can knock it out of the park. This is more than just grass. It's the stuff legends are made of. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere X300 for more.
Every home has things it needs. Things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app. Order it online with the push of a button. And have it brought to your door. With free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need. The online know-how you may need to do it yourself. And low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're more focused than ever on keeping your employees and customers safe. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. Our Cintas technicians can apply our disinfectant and sanitizer spray throughout your facility. Our UltraClean service for restrooms uses a sanitizer effective against certain germs, bacteria, and viruses. And we'll help you stay well-stocked with hand sanitizer, face masks, and essential PPE. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Let's have some straight talk. Even though most live sports are on hold now, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games, you'll lose. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Now, more of Farzetta in the Morning.
With Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
I believe in being fair. I believe in being fair and balanced. All right? And do we not love Dan Orlovsky? Do we not lavish praise on Dan Orlovsky? Do we not say how great Dan Orlovsky is all the time? He's great. All right?
Almost as much as he says that Carson Wentz is great.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Exactly.
Almost,
yeah.
But not that much.
Yeah. Now, this is where I can't say that the quarterback was fooled by the receiver moving off the target. Dan took a big L yesterday on social media, and it started with...
he has to report a Twitter murder.
It's not a good shot. It's not a good scene. It's not a good scene, all right? So Dan goes out on Get Up yesterday, and we've talked about Damian Lillard's comments about how, if my games don't matter, I ain't playing. If I don't have a chance of winning a championship, I ain't playing. All right. That's you. I can get it to a degree. If you don't feel safe in the work environment in general, and let's just say you got the average Joe job, would you feel safer by going into a position where you got to, play defense on somebody, where you got to drive against somebody, where you got to bump up mud somebody? No. That guy's all sweaty. That guy's maybe spitting, maybe drooling, whatever might happen, maybe bleeding. That's not a good thing. So you don't really feel safe. Now, the NBA is going to try to institute testing in order to get everybody tested so that it might even be the safest place on the planet to play in the NBA. But who knows? It's really hard to predict, as we've all... I don't know if you heard this phrase. It's a little fluid, this situation that we're in. So Damian Lillard is coming out and said, I'm not putting myself at risk if these games don't matter. Yet he's still going to go and he's going to sit on the bench. So I guess he still gets paid because he's there, even though he might say, my foot hurts. I can't play. Who knows? So nonetheless,
Dan Orlovsky hears these comments and says, I don't really agree with this. I feel as if someone is going to show up at a game and sit out, even though he could play, because he doesn't have a chance to win. I feel like that's entitled. I feel like that's a brat. So Damian Lillard goes out of his way to get on social media and say, au contraire, fair fella. And Damian Lillard says to our friend Dan Orlovsky, entitled and spoiled? MF, watch your mouth. My background, family, and character couldn't be further from entitled and spoiled. I said what I said. Dan Orlovsky then goes back and forth with him a little bit, including talking about his record as a starter in the NFL, which is not too impressive. And then the famous name from the Eagles that I referenced before the break that I teased, Terrell Owens even went at Dan Orlovsky, and he went the route of, man, basically, you are a terrible football player. Who cares about your opinion? I can't stand guys that had bad careers, and now their opinion all of a sudden matters in the media. Hey, look, that never mattered to me, but that's the route T.O. went. I could understand, because I've been around athletes that have said, who the hell cares about what that guy said? He sucked at football. Like, he had no career. Like, I've at least been to a Pro Bowl, and this guy wants to offer his opinion. You know what I mean? Like, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, and Bob, I know you're aware of this as well, a lot of people are, guys that have been average players have been phenomenal managers or coaches.
Yeah.
Like, is Jim Johnson in the Football Hall of Fame as a player or something?
No, I don't remember Bill Belichick killing people from his offensive linebacker position.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah,
I don't think he was, you know, some Hall of Fame player. I don't think, Andy Reid was some Hall of Fame offensive lineman, yet he was a pretty damn good football coach. Did Doug Peterson win a lot of championships as a quarterback?
Nah, he's pretty much a backup.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I don't really care about the status in which they played the game. I care about the status in which they can either evaluate the game, they can break it down, they can break down the film, or they can coach the game.
Yeah, teach me something I didn't know. As a viewer, that's what I want. Teach me something I didn't know.
As a broadcaster, what I want to hear from you is, or what the reaction I want to have to a lot of what you say is, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No, something like that.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that.
Wow, I never thought of that. That's accurate.
That high-pitched admittance of ignorance that I had.
Changed the way I view the game.
Oh, really? I never thought about it.
I never thought about, the A-gap there with the, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Moving off the target is like, oh, yeah.
I'm going to look for that now going forward.
Fooling the quarterback.
Yeah.
And again, this is just someone that once played backup quarterback in high school for one game. Let's not forget about that. So I'm just
kind of big time.
But still, I don't want to admit it, but whatever. I like to be humble. But nonetheless, I want to have that feeling of, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. And Dan Orlovsky does that better than almost anybody on TV right now, breaking down any sport. And I compare that to the field of the four major sports. He absolutely breaks that down. But with this particular thing, yeah, I tend to go with Damian Lillard on this. As much as I want to say shut up and play, in a pandemic, I'm not all about, oh, no, you feel safe now, go back to work. Because not everyone's going to feel comfortable. Phase two that's supposed to open up, what, next week? Some people aren't going to feel that comfortable. I don't want to be the guy being like, shut up and go back to work. I'm not going to do it with NBA players. I wouldn't do that with the average Joe.
No, because this is something totally different than what we're used to and we don't know. And it is personal. And, as it came out, was pointed out by, who?
Was pointed out by?
On the set yesterday. Why is her name leaving my head? Oh, my God. I just had a total brain fart.
Doris Burke?
Doris Burke. Oh, my God.
How dare you,
Bobby,
Robert?
Your girl.
What?
I was in the middle of computing some numbers.
Oh, my God. We're about to get texts.
As she correctly pointed out, Damian Lillard's had people in his circle affected by this. And I think she said there was a death in someone that he knows. This is personal. This is something different. This isn't something we've ever gone through before. Rushing people back into something. Yeah, it's a slippery slope. And to talk definitively, look, anything else, money, whatever it may be, work stoppage, and somebody says that, oh, I ain't playing. Yeah, okay, Orlovsky's more on the point.
Uh-huh.
You can't do it when it comes personal.
No.
Lillard's got a little kid.
Yeah, and like, what are you going to do, tell Brandon Graham in the NFL, yeah, you have to go back and play right now? I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's lost, what, two family members?
Yeah, like two family members and then a friend of the family who they called in, right?
Well, that was included. That three people have been affected. And then
right, okay.
People, yeah. And one of the people, I believe, is a friend, a really close friend of
right,
family.
Right, right.
So, like, I'm not, nobody should be getting anybody else's face about going back to work, regardless of sport, regardless of wage. And I know that's what a lot of different people will be focusing on. But when it comes to something like this, I think in the NBA, they should talk to the people that have been affected directly.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudy Gobert, what's up?
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns, whose mother died. What do you guys think about all this? And I think if not just for great PR, but also great, insight, maybe you would have a little bit more to say than maybe the next person would. And the thing I keep going back to with Donovan Mitchell is he felt like he said he could play game seven of a playoff series.
Yeah.
He was asymptomatic, but had it.
Yeah, I think Marcus Smart might have said the same thing, that he never really got it all that badly. Sean Payton from the Saints said, right. There was a couple of days I had a fever and didn't feel 100%, but,
But then you have, Von Miller, who said he got rocked.
Yeah.
So I get,
Doris Burke said it as well.
Doris Burke was down for the count.
Yeah, it's a wide range of symptoms.
Yeah.
So that's why it makes it tough.
Right now, my takeaway of the day is that Bob forgot Doris Burke's name.
Oh, my God. I was sitting here doing some numbers. Jeez, man. I was sitting here, calculating some things. And then I was like, oh, my God, her name just... And I was hoping you would say Doris Burke. I was like, yeah, Doris Burke.
In my mind, I was like, well, there's no way he's forgetting Doris Burke.
I know.
It's got to be somebody more obscure than Doris.
Did Donna say something to you? Like, stop mentioning Doris Burke so much?
Keep her name out your mouth.
I'm only guessing.
Yeah.
I think we're in a stage that when we get to phase two of all this and more people start to go back to work and the state really starts to open up more and people feel a little bit more like the old normals coming back, I feel like more people are going to be able to identify with the people that have been going to work throughout this, where maybe in the back of their mind they're thinking the same thing. Still a pandemic going on.
Yeah.
Still a pandemic. 100,000, over 100,000 people, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
We went over that threshold. That's 3 months.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
The pressure's coming to gotta open up. The governor of New Jersey comes out and says, yes, you can hold high school graduations in July or August or whatever, as long as it's outside, like on a football field. Mm. Well, my diocese, said no. The Cannon Diocese came out and said, no, you're not doing it.
No graduation.
You are no graduation out on the field, out anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it. So it's like, this battle is just coming. And, the governor of New Jersey was battling the president before, saying, no, we can't do this. But then he has to adhere to some other things. Now he's coming down and, people under him are saying, no, we're not doing it. So it's just such a crazy time. You hope we're not rushing into something for the sake. It is sports, after all. But there are jobs, so there's just so many different ways you can go.
I know. This has been on your mind, Bob, where there's an element to you that thinks it's silly, and I got to agree with it. When we're talking about the NHL making the big announcement, and we've talked about it all week, when we're talking about the NBA waiting to make their announcement, and we're talking about all the protocol, all the logistics to come back to the safest environment, not even a safe environment, the safest it can be, right?
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing? Like, there's a part of me that goes, as I'm looking at the NHL's plan, and as I'm trying to predict what the NBA is going to do, and how they're like, okay, we're not going to have 16 teams anymore. We're going to have 20 to 24. How does this work? And then I look at the NFL saying, hey, we're going to open up team facilities, and the NBA is doing the same thing, but there's limited and all that stuff, people allowed in the building. I'm like, wait, what the hell are we doing? If we have this many hoops to jump through, shouldn't you just take a step back and look at all of them and go, maybe it's not the best idea to go through all those. Maybe take a little bit more of a break. Now, as a sports fan, I'm like, shut up, logic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they could, again, be the safest place in the whole world, being the amount of tests they could have access to and that they're all essentially quarantined. But it's still in the back of your mind no matter what.
Sure. And it was funny. Somebody, a national pundit, came out yesterday and said, and I forget where I heard it, but said that Adam Silver doesn't want to start the league until his players are as comfortable playing in games as they are sitting in their homes. And it might have been I think it was last night I was driving, and the first thought in my head, maybe it goes in your guys' head as I said that, well, then it'll never come back.
Right.
How the hell is anybody going to feel as safe going to a hotel, going to play a game, going having people you don't know surrounding you, than you are in the comforts of your own home? I mean, that's just not a reality.
How do you get quoted as saying, Well, I'll tell you how you just can't have that. If I'm talking to Adam Silver right now, you can't say, oh, if somebody tests positive, we keep going. Like, that's not going to make me feel like I'm sitting in my own home.
No.
I would at least get the hell away from that person. And even if that person was around me, I'd still feel like I had it.
Yeah, and I do, probably more than you guys, I do have that feeling of, oh my God, what are we doing here? But what brings me back to reality is that, you know, all the security guards that I know down at the Wells Fargo Center that need that money,
yeah, right.
and everybody that needs sports to come back for their own living. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about people going out and doing their jobs, and God bless them and all. There's people that can't because of sports being shut down. And those are the people that's what brings me back to reality. We have to get sports back. These people need their jobs back.
Coming up, we're going to get into what Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz did yesterday to basically let their voices be heard when it needs to be heard by a lot of different people, given everything that happened in Minneapolis, everything that is happening right now in Minneapolis, because it ain't good. If you haven't been watching the news, riots, things being set on fire, it's awful, all surrounding the death of George Floyd. And we'll get into that and what Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz had to say about that. We'll talk about that in a second. And also we'll talk about something that has to do more so with the X's and O's of the game. Great article by Paul Domowicz, who spoke to Lincoln Kennedy, was it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.